First of all, thank you very much for having me here. I feel a little bit bad that I'm sitting next to the lunch. They say it actually works out because today is the Lubavitch Rebbe's yard site. So I don't know who said this, but I think from Chabad, once they speak about whether you're supposed to daven and then eat afterwards. Like you're not supposed to eat till you daven. Shabbos, some people eat before they daven, or I'm allowed to eat and then daven. So I think they say better. This is why the Chassidim say better to be eating and thinking about davening than be davening and thinking about eating. So I feel bad that that we're going to be maybe talking. It's a shame. Some inyane avoda and working on ourselves and just sharing. I definitely like to, I was holding this to see the time. I definitely give and take. So maybe I'll start off, just share a little bit what I'm thinking. And then I think we did it last time to, if there are any questions or comments are encouraged. I just think for, you know, in general, we live with a lot of information, and I think that information is great. That's where chachma's information, we'll call it, and bina, which is already in the heart, is to process. And the more information we have, is information is great, and it's great to know things. When we, as one of the tzaddikim said, I'm always trying to. Right, they asked him what he does for a living, and he says, I build bridges. He says, you don't build bridges. He says, yes, I'm always building a bridge from my head to my heart. Because we can know something via data hayom. We can know, we could have so much information, but the process and to bring that which I have in my head to my heart. Oh, I just thought of a pshat right now as I'm here, so thank you. I just thought of a new pshat. That by chassidim, they say, al pi kabbalah, that's one of the reasons why people have payas. It's not just tam, long payas. Besides the fact that you have a chiyuv, you're not allowed to cut your, a man is not allowed to cut. This isn't the pshat I thought of. This pshat I've heard, so you have payas because it connects your mind to your heart. It's supposed to connect. That's why they say paro is tichbad avoda, paro is ha'orif, is your neck. Because your neck, ha'orif, the same letters. Because it separates. Amalek also, they say malika, is to cut off the malikas from the back, is amalek, is malashin malika, to a bird, the karbonas, they, with your fingernail, they cut the back because they're separating. Amalek separates the head from the heart. And the goal in life is to really connect the two. That's the goal. They say that's why Esav's head is buried in the Maaseh Machpelah, because he wasn't able to do that process. So I was just thinking, this is my pshat that I usually don't speak to I speak more to the guys in yeshiva. So I was just thinking, maybe that's why a woman has long hair. A man's not supposed to have long hair, because a woman has strength in bina, has a bina yisera, has more, stronger in emotion, is healthier in emotion than a man. So maybe that's the pshat, because it's connecting that. Okay, I'll have to look it up. I like it. I like the, it's just what I'm going to show me now. So thank you. So the reason I'm saying that is that I encourage and I enjoy, it's good for me to share, but I also like to talk it out and to share it together. So it can not just be something in my mind or in our minds, but also can go into our hearts. Psach libi, I always tell guys in yeshiva where they're learning and they're learning b'seichel, everything in their minds. And I always say, it never says psach sichli b'sura secha. It doesn't say open up my head to the Torah. It says psach libi b'sura secha. That my heart, My emotions, the relationship, as we know, Judaism is not a religion. Judaism and the halachas, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with Hashem. It's about learning how to have a relationship with Hashem. It's not about the halachas. The halachas RA and the I really feel bad. I always feel terrible. I'm always having fresh deliveries and I'm sitting here. Maybe we'll just eat, let everybody eat. We'll just schmooze all day. Yes. Okay.
You'd rather this.
What?
You'd rather this.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I can't say it enough to just to be here. My humble blessing, Rabbi Yaakov, and to everybody here is that I just literally got off the plane within 24 hours. Less than 24 hours. I'm still fresh. I'm still connected. It's one of the tefillahs. I'm getting emotional now as my tefillah when I land. My tefillah when I take off. So I didn't land in Chutz La'aretz, but to stay connected to Eretz Yisrael. Stay connected to Eretz Yisrael. We're all connected to Eretz Yisrael. Every year, it's not where you are. It's where you want to be. It's not physically where you are. So I just want to say this, just sharing. I feel comfortable here. I feel warm. I feel the connection to Eretz Yisrael. All the Shefa comes from Eretz Yisrael. All the Shefa comes from the Beis HaMikdash. And it's an honor to be here. And Be'ez Hashem, you'll continue staying connected to all the Shefa, and Gashmias for this company, for everything everybody here is doing in Gashmias and Ruchnias for all of you and your families. I just want to share a thought. I have to do a lot of introspection personally. Because in Eretz Yisrael, we lean Korach last week. And this week is Korach over here because of Shavuos, we're behind. Well, whatever, not behind. No one's behind or ahead, but so I'm doing Korach. I don't know how many people are Zocha to do a Parsha twice. So I'm doing my own introspection why Korach, I'm gonna lean it again and hear it again. So I guess I gotta hear it again. If I didn't have to hear it again, if I'd come next week, I'd be hearing Chukas again. So I didn't hear Chukas yet, and I heard Korach. So I'm still in Korach. So I just want to share a thought. I'm developing the thought. I don't have it clear. I have an extra week that I've been processing the thought, and I want to share it with everybody here, and then we could talk about it maybe. And it's something I think that we all struggle with. I think I definitely struggle with it. I think that Korach's, just to talk it out, Korach is very hard to understand. But I think the theme of Korach is perfection. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. That's what he's saying. Everybody has a lot of kol. Kol ha'eda, the eda, kulam, all of them. And they say that Korach's mistake was that everyone's got to be like the Kohen Gadol. Everybody's got to be the best. The best. You got to be the best. Now, there is a drive. It's healthy to have a drive to be great. And that's normal and it's healthy to be perfect, we'll call it. It's great. It's a great drive. But it's very... It's a big problem. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim is, as I love to say, we're perfectly imperfect, which is learning that I'm not perfect, and I don't have to be perfect, and we all of us live such busy lives and lives where the home and I think I did this last time as well. Anytime I speak to a group of women, I will, which is not so often, you know, I call my wife and I say, tell me, talk to me, like share with me. You know, Bli Ayin Hara married for K'dayin Hara 32 plus years, Bli Ayin Hara, and it's about sharing and connecting and having these conversations. And one of the things my wife was saying is that, and I see it in her, and I'm sure everyone here can relate even more. And to what I'm gonna say is that the perfection of the home and work and just to like have everything together. I don't feel that way so much. For me, I feel that I have to be perfect in my own world. That I have to work on not being perfect. But the magnitude of being at home and being at work and just being a person who has it all together is very, very heavy. It's very, very challenging. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Everyone has to be perfect. And Korach, which is interesting, is that I think that's what he was battling against Moshe. Moshe is anav mikol adam, and then here's the twist that I want to share. It's really a noob shot. I just want to share it, and then we could talk, because it's. I hope it'll come out clear. There's a famous Gemara that talks about how Oun ben Peles, the parasha talks about Korach, how he had his downfall, and then the Pasuk says in the beginning there was Oun ben Peles. So I don't know if they taught this. Not too many people know about this Gemara. The Gemara says that the wife of Oun ben Peles saved him. He was together with Korach in the rebellion. How did Oun's wife save him? What she did was, she, you remember the Gemara? The Gemara says that she uncovered her hair. She gave him, she got him drunk. So he missed, they were, Korach with everybody was coming together to pick everybody up to go, they all swore to go against Moshe Rabbeinu. And Oun's wife said, you're gonna stay here. Drink, get drunk. Then she uncovered her hair, stayed outside. Now all the Korach people, there are all these holy, holy, quote unquote, people, Kikola Edov, we're perfect. So we're not gonna get near someone whose hair is uncovered. And that saved him, saved his wife, saved everything. Saved his whole family. And I had a thought that, how could she do that? How could she do that? It's, you're not allowed to do that. You can't do an isser to say, or whatever, okay, to save his life. How could she do that? So I'll tell you the thought that hit me. I think that's exactly what she was saying. She was saying, I'm not perfect. It's not about being perfect. I'm willing to do something that might not be perfect, but I'm gonna do me. I'm gonna do what I need to do because this is not right. We're not fighting. We're not getting into machlokas. So you drink, which by the way, a Kohen is not allowed to. You're the Kohen Gadol. You're not allowed to drink. So he gave him to drink also. So it's like saying like, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. And that saves our life. It saves our life. That's really the inspiration that I got. Sometimes we're so trying to get somewhere, or myself, I could say, I'm trying so much to get somewhere where you lose yourself, you lose the beauty of imperfection, you lose the beauty of imperfection, of not right. I'm sure you all know the famous. Maybe I'll read it. I think I might have it on me. It's from. Sorry, one second. Lahavdol, it's. I'm sure many of you know this, but I'll read it. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I think as I'm hearing it, it fits. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short and short again, because there is no effort without error or and shortcoming, but he or she who actually strives to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, who spends himself or herself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he or she fails, at least fails while daring greatly. Lahavdol, that's the book. If you know, Brené Brown has it based on this daring greatly, so that Their place shall never be with the cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. It's about being in the arena and living life. And it's, I don't think I'm saying anything that we don't know. I think that what's crazy for me is that you look at Korach and you look at the lesson of a giant. He was a tzaddik. They say tzaddik katamar yifrach is sof tevis Korach. Korach was very powerful and many were very, very wealthy. And all of us, I think one of the lessons that it's not a contradiction of greatness. Greatness actually comes from the person who's not necessarily trying to be great and really just trying to just be me. I'm just trying to be me with my imperfections, not in spite of my imperfections. And I think that's a very strong, the Gemara says, Chachmas Nashim Bansa Besa, this week's Parsha, is that the wife of Korach didn't do that. The wife of Omer ben Peles, so she maybe had this thought of perfection. And I'm sure it's difficult. I'm sure it's very, very difficult. I know it's difficult for all of us. I was thinking, I'll just end off with this, and I really would love to hear feedback or your thoughts about this. One of the stories I say a lot in yeshiva was someone, it's actually camp time. So this is when I worked in camp many years ago. I remember there was a father who dropped off his son, and he was running. They came to camp. Sometimes they, you do the most of the time, you put them on the bus. He drove him up to camp, and I'll never forget this, that he told his son as he was running into to leave, he gave him a hug and he had his bag, and he said, "Go be the best in your bunk." And I was like, I didn't say anything. But I was like, why would you say that? To this day, this must have been 20 years ago. To this day, I'm like, why would you say that to somebody? Why would you say be the best in your bunk? That's like, that's setting, I happen to know the guy, he's a great guy, the buffer, I know him. I'm not saying that's why he struggles, a little bit more, everybody struggles. I'm saying like, to have that thing that I gotta be the best. It's great to be motivated to be whatever your motivation is, and that part of us that's driven is amazing. But I think there's a very fine line between a Moshe Rabbeinu and a Korach where it's subtle. It's very subtle. Because, well, what's the parsha of Korach? It's Pashit. Who's going against Moshe Rabbeinu? It's very subtle because they say Korach lasid lavo. Whatever, there was a part, ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. There is perfection, that shlemas. I don't like the word perfection, but that's what I love, the perfectly imperfect, which means, yes, I am just trying to be me, and Hashem wants me to make mistakes because I'm human. And Hashem loves me with, not in spite, loves my weaknesses, loves my shame, loves the things. We were talking in the car. I said, it's funny because Moshe Rabbeinu, talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. I said, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe accepted the shame because I said, he's like Mayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is water. He goes, he's very humble. A humble person is not just somebody who's humble like that. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest leader forever. We call him Moshe Rabbeinu. But maybe like he accepted, and again, there's a high level, maybe he accepted his imperfection of being, I said, the letters Moshe, shame. Everybody knows that, huh? He says, yeah, with a, hey, like you're able to accept my flaws and accept that it's okay. Which ends up, again, ki kola eda kulam kedoshim is over the top. That's what Korach says, perfect. Everybody's going to be perfect. Well, why is everybody got to be perfect? One of my favorite lines, don't judge me because we sin differently. So this person is better. That's what's great about working with people and being with other people. You could be good at this and you could be good at that. That's why I love talking about marriage and that relationship. Why? Because people are so opposites. But opposites is strength. Different levels is strength. It's not weakness. Korach's lesson is like we all gotta strive to be you know, that thing. We don't have to strive to be that. Don't be the best in your bunk. And we know how it is. It doesn't end by being the best in the bunk. And then you have to be the best wife. You have to be the best husband. You have to be the best mother, the best father. You have to be the best at your work. You have to be the best whatever it might be. No, you don't. It's that same pattern, which is a very, very dangerous and hurtful pattern for ourselves. It hurts us. It's like, no, I have my strengths and you have your strengths. I have my weaknesses. I give a shalom. I'll end off with this, and then I'd love to hear your I Baruch Hashem, I'm zocheh to give a shalom bayis here on Zoom. I give every Sunday for the guys in America in Eretz Yisrael, and B'liayin Hara, Baruch Hashem, is very popular. It's like 15 minutes. I have couples from the guys in yeshiva, alumni, a lot of people join B'liayin Hara. And one of the things I say it almost every week. Not, I don't know, every week, but a lot. I say, no matter who your spouse is, no matter what, there's always going to be, I say this to the guys in yeshiva all the time, you could say you're marrying the perfect girl. You could say you're marrying the perfect person. It doesn't exist. Every person has strengths and weaknesses. Every person has things that they're great at and things that they're not great at. Each and every one of us. And I think what separates that ability to, whether it's enjoy yourself, whether it's to accept your everything is from Hashem, Hamakom Asher Ata Oimid is Admas Kodesh, I think comes at every place that where I am is perfect. I think comes when we really accept the differences that we have. As I say many times, Achdus is not us being the same. That's not what Achdus is. Achdus is that we are different. And I love that we're different. And I don't want you to be me, and I don't want you to want me to be you. And that's that's, I think, Teferes. It actually is Teferes, which is beauty. That is Teferes. That's Chesed and Gvura. Well, you see all the tzaddikim. This tzaddik learned all day. This tzaddik davened all day. This tzaddik gave tzedakah all day, Reb Shaila. This tzaddik, well, it was the Satmar Rebbe had his thing, and the Lubavitch Rebbe had this thing, and this tzaddik has, what's the lesson? V'amech kulam tzaddikim, not ki kol ha'elah kulam kedoshim. It's very different. Oh, we're perfect. No, I'm not perfect. But that's the beauty. They say tzibur is tzaddik, benim, and reshayim. Oh, it's beautiful. We're all so different. I don't want you to be me, right? That will end off with the Kutzker. If I am I because I am I and you are you because you are you, then I am I and you are you. Well, he starts the other way. If I am I because you are you and you are you because I am I, then I'm not me and you are not you. But if I am I because I am I and you are you because you are you, then that's beauty and that's perfection. That's perfection. I think we should all be Zocha. Thank you for listening. It goes by so quick. Rabbi Yaakov Ashrecha. I feel very uplifted when I come here. Thank you, all of you. Hashem should help us. I don't know how to say it. I'm going to try and feel it within myself. Like, Hashem, help us be okay with help me. I guess I'll say it for me and have everyone in mind. Hashem, help me be okay with my imperfection and the things that I am ashamed of and the things that I wish were better, and to accept my strengths and my weaknesses as part of who I am, because that ultimately is accepting me, because we overflow into other people. When I don't accept somebody else, it's not because I don't accept them. It's because there's a part of me that doesn't accept me. There's a part of me that doesn't accept me. And when I learned, I say Korach must have been so miserable. I feel terrible for Korach. Very, very wealthy, financially wealthy. I say this, from the richest Jews. He was a tzaddik. He had everything. But he must have been miserable. miserable as Shebe miserable. Why? Because he had to be perfect. He had to be perfect. And it's beautiful to strive to that, to strive for that, but to realize that, like, it's okay, I'm just exactly where I'm supposed to be, and this is, and I don't have to tell everybody here, you know, as you get older and older, you experience it more, I experience it more, to realize that wherever I am is exactly where I'm supposed to be. Wherever I am, that's where I'm supposed to be, and that doesn't make me not motivated. It makes us more motivated. It makes us more motivated when we, I'll end off with this. I say the destination in Waze. Everyone wants to know your destination. So I say, what's more important than your destination, or equally important, I think it might be a little bit more important, is location. Why? Because if I put in BOGOs that I want a spinach slice, because I think about that sometimes when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, of a spinach slice over here. I mean, spinach slice in Eretz Yisrael are also great, but they're great here also. The chef comes from Eretz Yisrael. So I say, but if I put in on Thursday afternoon that I want to go get BOGOs, so you, if your location is here, you could just, there you go, just walk across the street. If I'm in Eretz Yisrael, then my location is going to take me three. If Thursday, I'll probably want, well, you could take a Thursday night flight, get here Friday morning, but you know what I'm saying. You got a cheshbon, how long it's going to take you to get there. That's very important. How long is it going to take me to get there? My location. We should all be zocha, each and every one of us. Thank you again to realize where our location is. What's my location? What's my true location? And then through that, we'll all be zocha to get to our destination.
That's bad. The Torah influence is fascinating. I think they all believe that they were
right.
Going to be the Kohen Gadol,
right, the best, right, exactly.
Moshe knew his place. His
right.
Brother was
exactly.
But he was Moshe. He reached his own potential.
Right.
And his brother was Kohen Gadol. So it's just fascinating to see, like, the different.
What the what? Fascinating. Which point? I don't know if I got.
It's fascinating that everybody that was associated with Korah had that same idea. As
right.
Korah, that it's all about me.
Right.
It wasn't like a joint community where they wanted Korah to be Korah. They all themselves wanted.
Right.
So that's a strong influence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're bringing out an important point, because all the Chazal, they all say that he was very, he went around and convinced everyone, and was very, very good with the way he spoke. He was very good. It says he spoke very soft. He spoke very, and he would convince everyone. So I just want to, maybe what you're saying, I don't know if this is what you're saying, but you're bringing out this point that everybody has inside of them, I think, both of those people want to feel that I'm actually the best, and I'm like, wow, I'm status. And Korach, I think, was talking to that part of everyone, so that made it that, like, oh, so I don't want to be second, which is what Own Ben Pelas's wife said to him, by the way, what he's, because he said either way you're going to be in the chain, in the hierarchy, whether you win, whether Korach wins or Moshe wins, you're going to be in the same place where you are. But when you talk to a person, you say, that's why I said that story of the kid being the best in the bunk. Like, there's no end to that. Because that other person, oh, I also want to be the best in the bunk. I also want to be the best in the bunk. That's not team, and that's not success. I don't know if that's the point,
yeah,
but
it ties into the marriage. And the,
exactly.
It's, yes, you can be your own best, but like, the
right.
Together, it's like even.
Yes, the Medra says, you just remind me. See, I'm a week ahead with the Korach, so the Medra says, it says that a marriage, not marriage, but it's exactly what you're saying. The Medra says that Korach and Moshe is like the sun and the moon, where the moon said, we can't be together, as two kings can't rule together. And that was wrong. That was wrong. That was a mistake, because why not? Why can't two, the moon was wrong. Why not? There's space. there's space. No, I have to be better, you have to be that. And they said that's Korach, the same exact thing. Same thing. The Medrash says that. Beautiful. Thank you.
I really think that the location, like the mashal about knowing your location, that brought this year, like it tied it in really nicely, because I was having a question of how you can know if you're just, if you know, if you're like just being lazy and accepting your flaws and like not going to grow, or if you could push yourself a little more.
Right.
So I think like knowing your location, like knowing this is something that I can attain. I can go across the street to Bogo. That's something I can attain. That's like,
exactly.
You know, you can push yourself to do that, but
exactly.
You can't push yourself to go on a flight.
Exactly. One of my matanas from Hashem was it's not about moving on. It's about moving in. And when you move in, then you automatically will move on. Because I think like what you're bringing out is that a lot of people look at it like, oh, well, the motivated one doesn't accept who they are in the location. And the one who's like, oh, I'm so lazy and I'm this, so then they know their location, but they'll never get to the destination. My experience with myself, with others as well, but I could share my own experience, that the more I move in and I accept me more and more and more, the more motivated I am to it's not like move in on condition to move on. You know,
it's not like that, or
it doesn't, I don't think it has to be that. I think when there's full, like guys ask me in yeshiva sometimes, like when we talk about empathy and your child falls and you're there with them or they don't want to go to school, which I'm sure everyone, just a great book, it just reminds me, I don't say it enough, the book, How to Talk, it's an old school book, Raising Children, How to Talk So Kids Can Listen and Listen How So Kids Can Talk. Great book. I know me and my wife read it many years ago, and it's very helpful. Part of it is being with your, whoever it might be, with where they are, and thinking, oh, if I'm too accepting, they're not going to move forward. And that's not true. I my experience with myself, it's not true. And I think we get nervous, like if I'm going to accept my laziness or accept the fact that I'm whatever it is, then I'm going to just continue doing what I'm doing within that, whatever it is. And my experience is that that the reason we don't go forward is because I haven't accepted my location. Because I haven't accepted my location.
So let's say a person who doesn't dot it.
Right.
Like, exactly. I just don't dot it.
Right.
That's where you are.
Right.
Like, how do you move forward from that? Like, you just don't, and you accept it.
Right.
Like
right. It's like I tell parents,
you
have to accept we could go here. No, that's great. I tell parents, you have to accept your son. You have to accept him. You're not accepting who he is. Okay? They'll fight. No, but he's this, but he's that. Okay? You want him to be this. Yeah. You have to accept your son. Ready? Here it is. He's heard this 1,000 times. You accept your son. Great. We'll accept him. If we accept him, will he change? So what do I say? You need to accept him.
Are you saying
you're gonna accept
it? What about for yourself?
Right, I'm talking.
Why should I feel
there
like
is no
not doing what I'm supposed to be doing?
Okay, good. It's not about the
same thing. Is it? Are you saying generally, or maybe it's just person dependent? Is it generally better to be okay or to be aggressive?
Right. So that's usually, sorry, Yaakov. That's usually how we look at it: be okay or be aggressive. What?
No, because I think what you're saying to Mary is that when you don't try, you will naturally become aggressive to work on yourself better.
Right.
But when you are aggressive, it will not lend yourself to be open to accept yourself and then allow yourself to accomplish what you really want. I think the example is, I don't know, it's not going to help for you guys, but it might help for you, is that they say this about sports. When you try in sports, you're not going to succeed. You have to let the game come to you, and then you can be successful.
Exactly.
But in life, it's not...
It is. So I just want to say, because you said as a parent, I don't even use the word parent. You know why? Because I don't use the word parent or, you know, husband, wife. I mean, I do, but it's me. It's my relationships. I don't do something different. We overflow who we are to all of our relationships. And that relationship begins with myself. To the degree that I can accept myself, Is the degree I could accept my spouse? Is the degree I could accept my children? If I learn to move in to me, and I learn to accept me, of my location, we'll call it, then that is where I am. It doesn't change with my child. If I really am able to give space for myself and include everyone who I'm with and my life of my wife, my family, anyone who I meet, to give space, it begins over here with me giving myself space. That's what I said, learning to accept me. When I don't accept, right, what's that thing? When you point your finger, you have three fingers pointing at yourself. Anything we see on the outside is really who I am on the inside. So it's not about me being a parent and acting different with my children or my spouse as a husband, as a wife. It's about learning that. And like Yaakov said, that difference of like, oh, I either am accepting things and I'm doing nothing, or I'm being aggressive, which is a very strong word to say. No, I have never seen within myself, and I've also experienced it with other people, but I can only share with myself, the more acceptance that I've given myself, and the more I learn to say, okay, this is where I'm at. So first of all, when you fight reality, you only lose every single time. So if you're gonna fight the reality, people think, oh, so you're giving in to your laziness. You're not giving in, you're holding yourself, and that will motivate. Everyone naturally is motivated. Everybody naturally wants greatness. Everybody naturally wants to, every child wants to go to school and be matzliach and be great. Every yid wants to be close to Hashem. Every person wants to have a relationship. If somebody's not davening, it's because they don't feel that it's a relationship with Hashem, or they feel angry at Hashem, or they, whatever it is, great. So that's how you feel, that's where you are.
I think that,
go. This is,
naturally, I'm just gonna use aggressive because it's the...
Yeah, it's a strong, it's a
right,
little bit strong.
It's
an aggressive word,
it's purposeful.
Good.
Someone who's naturally aggressive will not understand someone who's...
So I'm sorry, I can't, no one's naturally aggressive. Because aggressive...
More attuned to being not comfortable with themselves or where they are, and they want to succeed more, and that's where their focus is, as opposed to...
So that's
someone,
everyone naturally has that.
But I'm going to use aggressive and lazy.
Okay,
someone who's aggressive will not understand someone who's lazy, and someone who's lazy will not understand not just the person who's aggressive, but in their need, and therefore it's pushing them to do the opposite, and that's what they're not comfortable with. I think when you're comfortable with yourself and who you are, who you naturally are, that will lend itself to an environment for you to be successful.
Right.
If you are lazy,
everyone's lazy.
No, but if you are more lazy than aggressive, that's why I want to use those words, because they're very different.
So I don't think that. So okay, this is a long.
But
I don't think anyone is more lazy, more.
But more attuned,
think,
more attuned.
Yeah,
like,
if you're accepting.
Okay,
of
fine.
Who you are
accepting, but if you're more accepting as opposed to being aggressive, wanting to succeed, right, and you're comfortable and you get comfortable, whichever one you're
more
naturally inclined to do, you will create an environment where you're able to succeed no matter what you are, no matter how it's going to come.
Yes.
I think that's what the Rebbe's trying to say in terms of
with
not
yourself,
pushing the envelope
within yourself,
to be something you're not.
Within yourself.
If that's who you are, be who you
within
are, be
yourself.
Comfortable with who you are, and that will lend itself to be the other thing or to succeed. In
When we learn, and you said be comfortable, I would say that also, let the line of be comfortable being uncomfortable. So I used to say that. Be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Be uncomfortable. You are uncomfortable.
Know yourself, be yourself, and then
try. Try to realize where you are, who you are, what your relationship with whatever it might be. And the more we do that, the more I do that, I could say. The more I could just, what was your name here? My I could just share with myself. The more my relationship with Hashem was not just about davening, but it was learning that Hashem is a relationship. So then that I don't have to daven.
It was just an example of like someone who doesn't do something and they should do something and they're not.
Right.
Once you fully accept yourself, like the example of like
with
what
the parents.
Said, with parents, like
right.
will they change after? Like
right.
then you didn't accept yourself.
Exactly.
How
exactly.
do you then you can't guarantee that you'll ever change.
Right. Right. So that's what most people think. That's what most people think. Most people think that if I accept myself, if I accept my spouse, if I accept my children, if I accept everything, I'm going to do nothing. It's the exact opposite.
Okay, so then one step further. How do you actually truly accept yourself so that you
that's,
actually do
you know what? What's your name?
Chevy.
Chevy. I have no idea. I'm working on it as we speak. I have no idea. I can tell you I go to therapy. I can tell you I talk about this. I can tell you I have amazing people who I hang around with. I have these conversations. I have Baruch Hashem, a wife and children and family, and I learn to accept me all the time more and more and more and more. I think And you know what? I'm the one who said, I'm the only one here in this room who's hearing Parshas Korach twice. So I'm like, Yoni, I think you need to learn to accept yourself more. I'm a big talker about accepting myself. I don't accept myself. I don't accept myself. I accept, maybe, we'll talk about it in the car maybe, I'm learning to accept the fact that I don't accept myself so much. And that's okay. That's okay. I don't even know if I'm on that level. To accept the fact that I don't accept myself. But it's a process. It takes time. Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. No, but Yaakov, it's true. It's much easier for us to tell. It's like compliments. It's like compliments. Sichas Chaveira. That's why I say like these conversations. Because we need... I
can judge you a lot better than I can judge myself.
Correct. And we need each other to... People tell us to me all the time, Rebbe, I have trouble receiving compliments. So I say, well, I'm the problem. They're like, what? I have trouble receiving compliments. So I'm not overflowing that well. And the more I learn to accept compliments, and I struggle with that tremendously, I'm working on it, receiving. So I know, I'll see in the people around me that suddenly they're learning to receive as well. Yeah.
Hi. I'm just curious, as a parent, like,
yeah.
You're doing great, Becky.
Thank you. See, is there a place to draw the line of like acceptance versus motivation? Like some kids just need more motivation, like others need more acceptance, and like where
right.
do you draw that line?
Right. So again, this is a right. So again,
right.
No. So again, this is a longer discussion. It is a longer discussion. My experience with my own children, and just with people, and really myself. And I think we're all the same. That which is most personal is most universal. So within myself, and it's hard when you have children and they're running all over the place, or everyone's different, or is that acceptance doesn't mean I don't discipline. Acceptance doesn't mean you could do whatever you want. But deep down, if I really accept myself, I really accept, because our children are really just an extension of ourselves. Right? We could maybe blame the other side of the family, whatever it is. But where does that come from? That comes from a lack of acceptance of my spouse, or a lack of acceptance of something inside of me. And Hashem gave me a spouse. Hashem gave me this. And the more we really truly accept our children, really that we accept ourselves, because that will overflow. Our children are just a extension of us. I think it only brings out motivation. Again, I'm not saying not to boundaries. You got to go to sleep at a certain time. You have to whatever. That's just parenting. But deep down, to really accept our children and ourselves, I think only motivates. I've only encountered myself being not motivated, and other people, and students, and my friends, and the people that where it comes from, non-acceptance, and the mistakes I've made. It's one of the hard things when you get a little bit older. The mistakes that I've made of my own children is not accepting enough. Not. I haven't seen me saying, wow, I accepted my son too much. I've only experienced not accepting, really it's myself. It's really comes with.
Do you think out of all the kids that you've been around, thousands of kids, or whatever, other Tamidim,
yeah,
do you think, as a percentage wise, are there more, and I'm going to use this word on purpose, are there more kids screwed up because their parents accepted them or because their parents expected them?
That's what I'm saying, right? I don't think anyone.
Play the numbers.
You can.
Yaakov,
can I just say, I don't forget about that. It doesn't matter. I know within myself.
Oh, exactly.
I don't even need to go to my wife or my children. I'm talking about myself, me, this guy sitting right here. The more I've learned to accept myself, the more I learn to know my location, the more I learn to be nicer to myself, it's only benefited me. That I can say. Yeah.
Of like tough love and then like
yeah.
Very like accepting love.
Right.
And like I feel like yeah, you should throw your kid and that's better.
Right.
Tough love should be to your spouse. Good love should be to your spouse.
But I don't think that accepting your kid of tough love contradicts each other.
Exactly. Correct. Correct. That's what people think. People think either tough love or this. How about just love and acceptance? And that's it. Again, discipline is discipline. Discipline doesn't mean I don't love. You love your child. You say you have to go to sleep. You have school. Or just when we get angry, that's why Yaakov, sorry, I didn't like that word, because when it becomes either, oh, aggressive is that, versus lazy, those are extremes. Those are very, very strong.
No, but I feel like I'm like a person of authority telling you, like, I see your potential to do better. That's not acceptable. That's
correct.
Not.
It's not.
They would do
even better, in my humble opinion. They would do even better if they had more love. That's what I think. They would do it because naturally we're all motivated. Naturally we want to do. It's not like we're just, you know, letting our child just run around or letting ourselves. So nobody wants to sleep all day. We're naturally motivated. Yeah, and then we gotta. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm having a hard time understanding why we can't accept our shortcomings and our words and all that, and also try to be better. Give example like a toddler, when the first day you walk, you're so happy to say how the way they are, and you also know and hope that they're going to learn to run. So why can't you have both, but accepting where you are and wanting to be better?
I think that's the point. I think you do. You will. I think we naturally strive, again, to be best. I don't know why I have to be best.
Well, if you just strive to be good, let's see.
I want to strive. How about strive to be me?
But the best version of you.
Good. I say that's the same. I say one of the lines that I've, Baruch Hashem, is it's not that you don't have to be the best you. Be you. And if you're just you, then that's the best. That's you. Huh?
I think you can go further.
I'm talking about being fully me. Fully me as I can be. That I think comes from a lack of acceptance. That's what I think. Comes from a lack of acceptance.
These things are all very good in theory for things that aren't like black and white, but the Torah gives us very clear guidelines on what we should and shouldn't be doing. So like, if you're not doing what the Torah says you should be doing,
right,
that's wrong.
Right.
You could accept where you are. You could recognize where you are. You could recognize that the destination is to be doing what the Torah tells you to do. But everything other than the black and white of yes and no, like that's great. But what about?
Yeah, but that's what he started the
yes
shiur for saying.
So
what is Yiddishkeit? It's not rules. It's a relationship.
I don't want my God. That's not even what I want. My God, my Hashem, and my Torah loves me. For who I am.
It doesn't mean a lack of love.
No, so I'll use a different word. Accepts me for who I am and where I'm at.
But then there's like the difference of like.
Yeah, but can I tell you why I think people struggle with this? Because I know myself, because first of all, it's a different language maybe that we're used to. And the language is I should, and I have to, and I'm going to Gehenna, and I have all these rules. I want a relationship with Hashem. I want Hashem and me and my relationship with Hashem that he accepts me, because I know Hashem accepts me. I'm the problem. I don't accept.
Look what happened to Ayn Bentalis. Hello. She uncovered her hair.
Now what?
The Torah was given to us as a guidebook to the ultimate relationship with Hashem.
Yeah,
correct.
So if we're not doing what it tells us to, then why do I think my methods are the right way to get closer to Hashem versus what the Torah gave
so
me?
So first of all, I agree with you. Any relationship understands that we have limitations. Any relationship that doesn't understand, any relationship that doesn't understand that there are limitations and shortcomings is not going to be a good relationship. Everyone here who has close relationships, especially if you're married, a relationship, you know that my spouse, I mean, my spouse is perfect, but I'm saying besides my spouse, besides my wife.
I think your spouse
saying,
has a perfect spouse.
Thank you. So, thank you. See, I have trouble taking that compliment. Thank you. Thank you.
I think we should take a poll. We'll take a poll in the office. We have people here.
So,
and whoever agrees will go one way. And we'll all agree.
I don't think it's about agreeing or not agreeing.
It's more who's ever.
I think it's a reconciliation of the two.
I think that.
Leave it to Mary. She'll do that.
I think what's important is that when we learn to realize that my relationship with Hashem, because you're coming from a very different place of the expectation, and I'm the rabbi. I'm the one who's supposed to be saying what you're saying. You should be davening. You should be learning. And I'm underlining that word because I don't like that word so much. I want to have a relationship with you, Hashem. I want to be close to you, Hashem. Hashem wants to be close to me. Why am I not davening? Why am I not learning? Why am I not doing? It's not because I don't love Hashem. It's not because I don't love whatever it is. It's because maybe I'm not there yet. Maybe I have some trauma from that. Maybe I'm just learning to be me. And I want my Father in heaven, and I want my best friend in heaven. Because Hashem is not just a father. Hashem is a best friend. Chassan and Kala. It's all of our relationships. Hashem is all of our relationships. I want, not that I want, I know Hashem is like that. I'm the one who struggles with that. To accept me exactly where I am. And if I struggle with that, I want to know. But from Hashem's place, it is like that. From Hashem's place, now, we might have been taught differently in school. We might have been taught differently in our culture, or my father, or my mother, whatever it might be. But it's not necessarily true. It's not necessarily true. Anyone here knows, as a parent, what that means to have intrinsic value, that a child has intrinsic value and love, and we love no matter what you do, no matter how dirty you get, no matter what you do. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. Okay, I have to get going. I really appreciate this conversation. This is why I like these conversations. That's why, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A wonderful summer.
Thank you. What do you say?